Here's one for you. Two blokes walk into a desert and crack the shits. Prefer punching on to using their words. Big mistake.
You are amongst the desert dunes on the planet of Valkverden, having been approached by two well-armed men as you attempt to return to your ship. They've drawn their weapons upon you, so is there anything you'd like to say or do before this escalates further?
Gov's hiding.
Where?
Behind Eli.
Wherever she can. What about? Where can she hide?
There's an Eli.
Sand.
There's barrels? Sand and there's people.
Barrels are good.
There doesn't happen to be any barrels right now, I'm afraid, Paul.
Shit.
Oh, no, there's always a barrel.
Sand then.
Oh, are you sure you can't just pan to the left and find some barrels?
This isn't Donkey Kong.
Is there a box that you could get under?
Is it Metal Gear Solid?
Huh? Oh, it's just a box.
She lies very flat on the sand, allowing the sand to blow over her, which she assumes perfectly hides her because no one's really ever been looking for her.
Allowing the sand to blow over you over a course of two centuries.
That's right.
And soon, a layer of sediment will form.
And Cuff will become a fossil.
And then Nell will like you.
At last.
Eli pulls his cigarette out of his mouth and flicks it very coolly off screen.
We'll be the judge of that.
No, you won't. And he cracks his knuckles intimidatingly.
Mm. We'll be the judge of that.
That one I'll allow.
Pizza oven just blinks a few times.
What do you reckon, Captain? Are we on?
Oh, we on, mate.
Oh, we on. Oh, we on.
So...
on what?
I'll explain later.
Great.
It's fighting.
As we move forward with combat, I'll take the time to explain it to the audience as well as the players who are perhaps also not as familiar.
Mm.
So to determine the combat initiative, everyone rolls a D3, which for this purpose is a D6, but we'll just halve the number.
Half it.
Yeah, and adds the savvy stat. Mm-hmm. Also, if a character is only using a melee weapon, they may roll 2d3 and add the high result to their savvy.
Fuck yeah.
Sweet. All right.
Okay, Sarah, I'm using the bone dice you bought me. Don't fail me now. Bonos. That was a 1.
Okay.
3, as in I rolled a 6. Twas.
Twas. Plus you savvy? You don't have savvy.
Yeah, so twas.
5.
Nice. I have got a 4.
Nice.
Also a 3 for pizza oven. I have 1 savvy, so I think maybe I go ahead. Pizza oven has the higher savvy, so yeah, I go first. I go ahead. Definitely not first.
I'm like better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just need you, Goodman.
For reasons.
I need you to know.
Just remember that. Keep that in mind. Yeah.
Each turn comprises a set amount of actions that can be used for attacking, movement, and a select few other options. Unlike in our first season, I will attempt to pay attention to players' positioning in a battle, as range is important during combat.
Uh-oh.
So don't worry. I will say that your range is nearby at the minute, which is ideal range for hand weapons.
Okay.
Hand weapon is like pistols and stuff. A standard weapon is like a shotgun or SMG, and then a long range weapon is like a sniper rifle.
Perhaps you could keep track of our positioning by having a sort of tabletop layout, perhaps with Pokemon characters that you may have lying around.
That pinboard's only taking up valuable real estate, mate.
Yeah. You know what? I may consider that for next time. Melee weapon users may also roll with the upper hand against opponents armed with a gun, which these two guards are, once per combat.
Nice.
When they choose to do this is completely up to them, but I may ask them to describe what sick action they're doing to facilitate this advantage.
Sweet.
Oh yeah.
Okay, so funnily enough, The first person in the initiative is Paul Saltkoff.
Hooray! What? She turns to run away from the combat. Let's say...
Takes 6 bullets in the back.
No!
Let's say she gets a third of the way of her overall movement speed before turning and sort of reconsidering, but sort of seeing that everyone's sort of gathering around. And I think pretty much in her entire movement, she's just going to try and maybe strafe and get around behind them. Outflank them. Is there something where I can use an action to do extra movement?
Yes, there is.
Ooh. Are we entirely alone? Are we literally just...
in the universe.
6 figures in a desert right now.
You are 7 figures in a desert.
Okay.
This changes everything.
And a ship.
The ship is there.
Yeah.
That's what I wondered if the ship was nearby. So maybe, I don't know, try and put the ship between me and them.
Okay,
is
so...
Is it all possible?
Yeah, I will let you use your 2 actions to do enough movement to strafe and maneuver around them. To perhaps do a more sneaky attack on your next go.
Cool. Soz.
What? Oh. She is wily.
So now, to attack, the player rolls 3d6 plus their relevant stat, which in this case is grit.
Okay.
And chooses 2 of the dice.
Okay.
If the amount beats the enemy's target number, then the remaining die becomes the amount of damage dealt.
Ooh.
A target number is 8, modified by any relevant gambits and equipment.
So I pick 2 and add my grit, and then the third, if I beat them, is the damage.
Yes.
Come on, mate. 10 altogether.
So, what weapon does Momo use?
Momo uses a single action revolver.
Nice.
In a little holster under a jacket.
Very cool.
So you see these 2 armored guards lift their SMGs towards you and steady the aim in your direction.
Yeah, Sarah Michelle Gellar's.
We were all thinking of acronyms, Paul.
I wasn't at all.
No, I'll rephrase. I was trying to think of an acronym and didn't, Paul.
Now, can you please describe Momo's action as they fire and land a shot on one of the guards?
Yes.
Nice.
Momo has just been standing pretty chill,
cash,
not looking too aggressive, but under the bajillion pocket jacket, got me a revolver. So it's going to be like a quick draw situation. She's going to pull down and shoot.
Yes.
Nice. Fuck yeah.
From the hip.
Yeah.
Do you do like a cock it from the hip?
Oh,
that's good stuff, that is. So fast.
You let off a shot that quickly hits one of the 2 guards in the side, shattering this expensive looking armor in the chest area. How much damage do you deal?
3, please.
You see them sort of recoil back a little bit and stumble, and their aim goes a little bit squiff. Poe, it's now your turn.
Poe is going to turn to the captain, like full body, just like beep, 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 beep.
6 bullets in the back.
Captain, awaiting instructions.
Oh, what, you've got a sniper?
A sawn-off shotgun.
Oh, fuck. Okay, did we laugh about it being a sniper in one of the...
Yeah, I think just because of how unwieldy it would have been detached shot.
Or is this it's going to be perfectly wieldy?
Also just the idea of a pizza oven carefully aiming down the scope.
When it locks on, does the timer go off?
Yes.
The door sometimes opens as well, but...
Oh, is it too late to get a sniper? Maybe on another planet. Future art.
With your lungs.
Whole sweet upgrade. Next planet.
All right, Poe. You see that mate over there that I just shot?
Yes.
I want you to aim for that guy.
Yes.
Right there.
We're aiming.
Hit him square in the chest, mate.
Okay. With the gun?
That's right, Poe.
Okay.
Don't throw it. Shoot it.
Good clarification. Smart. You saw through my bullshit.
And then I think we get, like with the keys, I think we get like a close-up on 2 pizza hands as a shotgun appears in them.
Yeah, nice.
From
pizza hands.
Somewhere.
Pizza hands.
You could...
Fair enough.
You're unlikely to be cooking pizzas while out on a mission, so you could store the shotgun within
Sarah,
that's
incorrect. That's an incorrect statement.
You don't know that. You do not know that, Sarah.
It's just constantly pizzas falling out of pizza oven.
Okay, well, you haven't cooked a pizza since you left the ship, so in this context...
what a tragedy, I agree.
The shock.
Well,
just because we didn't say that, hands up anyone who's been in the desert and not eaten a pizza.
In my mind, it's like, you know when you're at the cinema and the popcorn thing's just overflowing? There's just pizzas flopping. Just flopping.
Just dropping out every so often.
Cheese and tomato leaking out the sides of the oven.
He smells awful. Oh, who's going to clean him?
Me.
Oh, Muggins here.
Oh, that's good. At least someone does. Nothing like a shared oven. No one wants to clean. The barrel of the sawn-off shotgun is rested on like the wrist of the little arm that's got the spinning pizza cutting wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And the arm with the pincer is going to pull the trigger. And then we can cut back out to wider shots. And the shotgun's there. It makes sense now. And I'm going to roll my dice.
Yes, 3d6 and then add two of them to... your grit stat. Great.
One of the mercs going, where did that shotgun come from? Oh no.
I'm actually super gritty.
Nice.
But the pizzas aren't.
Really need to clean that oven.
My top two are a 4 and a 5, so that's 9 plus 2, that's 11.
Now you don't have to, you can choose what you want if you think it might beat the target number. So if you wanted to save one of those so you do more damage.
Oh yes, because the third one, I see what you mean.
But the risk is that you might not hit if you go too low. So you know that an average target number is 8, but it could be modified. So it's up to you. And you know that Momo hit with a 10.
Oh shit. If I took the 4 and I've got a 3 on the other dice. So if I took the 4 and the 3 and still added 2 to that, that would make 9 in total. Do I have to meet or beat?
You have to meet.
You know what? I'm just going to take the risk that a 9 is going to be enough to hit, and we'll see. We'll find it's a fact-finding mission.
As friends.
Got this, Poe. Woo!
Yeah, because if this hits, then I'm doing 5 damage, because my other dice is a 5. So either I'm going to miss and just be a sad robot, or I'm going to just completely blast a hole in this guy with my shotgun, and that's going to be great. Poe, and I'll be a happy robot.
You killed a man, Poe. How'd it feel?
Same as the last time.
Are you aiming at the same guard that Momo shot at?
Yes,
Momo.
Okay. So you steady your shotgun on your little tubely arm.
Tubely. So tubely.
Grasp your pincer tight over the trigger.
Race for impact.
And then get pushed back a little bit as the shotgun blasts out.
Like skids, body does not shake, just like skids backwards in the sand as a solid unit.
Does Eli gently stop you with a palm?
Maybe.
I got you, buddy. Yeah.
A trail of dust kicks up as you scoot backwards and a blast hits directly in the center of this guard's chest, shattering and sending splinters of metal out, and they cough and sort of stagger. I knew the second I said cough. Yeah.
Well, shit.
They choke back a...
Tear?
That's not your name.
You silly boy.
It is when I'm naughty.
Oh, no.
This guard looks really hurt, and you see the not hurt at all guard turns to him and goes, Alan, no! And it is now the guard's turns.
Now we know his name's Alan. Look, he's probably got a wife and kids.
So the non-hurt guard, who you know isn't called Alan.
Alan and Nallan.
Is going to take aim at Momo, who did the very cool, swift draw. And we're going to see.
This is rude.
Ooh, okay.
Uh-oh. Am I going to die 2 episodes in? Or?
Yeah.
3? How many in?
Yeah, you're not going to die 2 episodes in. 3. 3 episodes.
So the first guard readies his gun. It is 4 plus 4 plus 1 grit, so 9. What is your target number? 8, I don't think it's modified by any of your gambits or current equipment.
But I'm cool.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's a, yeah. It would still probably meet it, even if being cool gave you a +1. So
your gambit's the captain, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's double check, just in case.
You can't shoot a captain, mate.
They'll say very cool gets +5 to whatever.
+5? Wow, cool.
Wow. Yeah, okay. That's unheard of.
The jittery guard, sort of, you see them lifting the gun up and their hand is shaking quite a bit. If you want to give me an observation check, you're more than welcome to.
Oh.
Anyone.
I have an observation.
Yeah.
Anyone can make an observation check.
We don't know that his name is Alan. They could both be called Alan. Yeah.
That's true.
That's true.
Good point, Paul Salt.
It's a really good point. Point.
Well made. I'm glad someone here is bringing sense to this party.
That common sense podcast.
That's logic.
That'd be such bad world building. It'd be so confusing on my
happen?
Part to name both of them Alan.
Why doesn't that happen? Why can't they just be called Alan?
All right.
Isn't that right, Paul?
We've got two Pauls on this show.
Yeah.
It fucking happens, doesn't it?
One of them could be A-L-A-N and the other could be A-L-L-E-N.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
Or they could both be A-L-A-N.
What do I add to an observation check? So?
Observation checks are just 2d6 made flat. You don't add anything to them.
Oh.
How do I make them flat?
Fuck it out.
I knew that
Paul.
Was coming.
You're on fire tonight, Paul.
Oh no, he's got full of kebab energy. It's a 4.
The spaceship falls backwards onto Kov.
Oh no.
Eli rolled an 8.
6 for pizza oven.
Oh, wait.
Oh, you don't have to, Captain. You can be all caught up with getting shot at.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I just got shot.
Okay.
Almost.
I delegate looking at things to my crew.
Eli, you see the shakiness and you get the sense that this person has never been in combat before.
Aww. Let's not kill that one.
Great, an advantage.
Advantage.
Let's fucking kill him.
That's all the cheese seeping out of Poe's mouth.
Despite having never been in combat before, they still are able to land a shot on Momo. Probably because the SMG is not a gun known for requiring accuracy. So a spray of bullets just flies out towards the captain. And Momo, you take 4 damage.
Okay. Fuck. Put fucking holes in Francine. My jacket's name is Francine, aren't
wow. Oh.
Oh, right. I forgot about that.
It's good lore.
Meanwhile, Alan,
who has
just taken a shot to the chest, staggers forward, makes eye contact with the pizza oven that just shot him.
Oh, no.
Oh. Oh, no.
Little smiling face on the top and blinking eyes. Staring, focusing, zooming in and out.
Making his happy noise.
His hand is also shaking, but you get the impression that it is not because of a lack of combat experience, but more the fact that he is going to die imminently. But he lets off a spray from his SMG as well. Fuck you! Which does 3 damage to you, Poe.
Oh, dear.
Jeez.
The question is, did it hit Poe's glass door?
Oh my god.
No.
Do you have a glass door?
Yeah, on the front. Yeah.
Yeah, it's glass.
I immediately just thought about that website for rating your employer and was just like, what's that got to do with? How?
What am I doing?
Your glass door's really going to suffer for this.
How Pizza Oven feels about working for the captain.
Oh.
Pizza Oven left a review.
Yeah.
Has the review now been shot?
You're not making any sense, Paul.
Starts out really nice until you get to the end of your probation period and then
shoots your door in.
Eli, it's your turn.
All right, so having observed, firstly, that one of the mercs may well not have been in combat before and is shaking with fear, and also that they could possibly both be called Alan, his first action is going to be to close distance on the more experienced of the mercs by zigzagging forward. And with his bulk and his size, it's just giving the impression of a rhino coming at this guy with intimidating the newbie merc in mind. He wants to disarm this guy in a forceful way, like palm striking the gun out of his hand and holding onto the muzzle so it's smashed out of his hands firmly in Eli's and smashing him in the face with the butt of the SMG.
Oh, because you get an extra action because of your...
Yeah, my gambit is hail of blows.
Yes.
So spend 1 heart and get an extra action.
Mm-hmm. Great. So for 1 action, you want to try and disarm the guard.
Yeah.
So I will say that that is a muscle. check.
Okay.
So 2d6 plus your muscle.
Cool. Taking advantage of the surprise and the chaos of it all, he storms forward, zigzagging towards the injured merc. And that's a 10.
Yep, absolutely.
Cool.
So the merc has just let loose a spray of bullets at Poe. You hear like dinging and like ricocheting of them hitting his little metal pizza oven frame.
No.
And then he turns his head slowly, realizing that you are right up in his entire business. And you just grab the gun, crush his wrist, and he releases it into your other hand. Now, you want to spend a heart to do another action?
Yes.
Okay.
Wait, what?
That's my gambit.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. What do I care then? Why am I even here?
I agree. You should get multiple gambits now.
Yay!
Surely that's what captain means.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, having smashed the SMG out of the guard's hand, he yanks it back and then smashes it in the center of this guard's face.
Okay, give me 3d6 and then use 2 plus your stat, because you were doing melee rather than weapon, is muscle. So
cool.
Choose 2 of them to add to your muscle stat.
Not to be a Debbie Downer, but I believe you make this second attack against the odds, whatever that means.
True, but as a melee fighter, I get one roll with upper hand. So, that would cancel
that out. Yep.
Sweet, there you go.
Yep.
Thank you. And it's not a Debbie Downer, Jen, thank you for looking at the rules.
Yeah.
I got you, Sarah.
That's a Debbie Ruleser.
I like rules and following them and enforcing them on other people.
That's a 9. That leaves me a 4 damage.
Okay, so you crush the guy's hand. He drops the SMG into your other hand. You bring it up with quick force, with all the power of your massive muscles into his helmet, and the glass front shatters into pieces, and he falls back onto the sand and just sort of convulses a little bit. And the other guard turns to him and screams,
"Oh no!
My namesake!"
Through the shattered glass, you hear him say,
"Tell my son, Alan, I died doing what I love.
Being with other Alans."
And then Eli, can I speak to this other?
I'll allow it. You've done a lot, but I'll allow it.
Thanks. Or I mean, he doesn't have to. He could just turn and then stare at the guy pointedly, as if to say, "Is this going to be you?"
Ooh. So, Krevin.
Oh yeah,
Crispy Krevin.
Yeah, Krevin's also here.
Fuck yeah, Krevin.
Krevin.
Krevin, execution style, just shoots him in the back of the head. Well,
Krevin.
Well, now you mention it.
Who is wearing a dirty jacket that is somewhere between a duster and a trench coat. But with a quick, swift movement, he reaches beneath it and pulls out a dinged up pistol and takes aim upon potential Alan and lets loose a bullet. Now, Krevin's gambit is Hand of the Devil, which allows him to roll with the upper hand when using a pistol. And I did re-roll, and I got a lower number on the attack. So
that's the devil for you.
His attack does land, but he only does 1 damage to the guard, who, as he looks at you, still sort of hand-shaking, you see a bullet sort of ding into his chest plate, and he takes like a step back.
Dang it, stop shooting. He's a kid.
We are back
to... What was that?
To...
Gunshot.
We are back to cough.
Okay, so down to 1, right? Other guy dead?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, cough tries to run from around the ship, hit him in the back of the head.
Great.
Sneak up on him if she can.
Absolutely. He is very distracted by...
Shocker.
By the intimidation of Eli and the sudden shot from Krevin. I am actually going to say you can roll with the upper hand on this one.
Ooh, 2 dice, use best. I only know D&D.
Roll 3d6 and discard the lowest.
Ooh, okay.
Although, so in this case it would be 4d6 and discard the lowest.
Oh my god. Mm. Well, I'm discarding a 1 then, so I've got 6, 2 and a 3. What am I adding?
Hold up. You are adding your muscle stat.
1. So yes, hit with a 9 and then I've got 3 left.
potential Alan sort of staggers back, having been shot by Krevin, and then almost inaudibly, you can just about make out the sound of feet on sand. Like, so experienced and so trained in this way of movement, it's almost imperceivable. But suddenly, out of the air, Koth comes wielding the quarterstaff down on the head of potential Alan with an almighty funk, knocks them forward, and they just sort of like look absolutely staggered.
Have that, you slack.
Momo.
Momo. Maybe I'll just try and talk to him.
You can see Eli's pleading puppy dog eyes.
I see a little Eli's face. Mm-hmm.
And also he's going, don't kill this kid.
He's on his knees.
He's already ripped his shirt off in preparation.
Mo's going to walk up to the lad.
Poor lad.
Listen to me, mate. You are outnumbered and outgunned. We don't want to hurt you. We don't want to kill you. If you just walk away right now, that's going to be the best for both of us. So I think you ought to hop, skip and jump out of here, mate. What do you say?
You see them sort of shaking a little bit. Give me a savvy check.
Alrighty. 10.
On a 10, you see that they realise there's no good outcome for him here, but you also hear him muttering.
Oh,
I can't.
Can I lean in?
Yeah, oh yeah. You can just perceive it through his mask, because his mask isn't shattered on this one, so it's just like,
I can't go back. I can't go back without taking care of the situation.
Fuck it, let's.
Oh my god, new crew member,
yeah,
everybody.
Adopt this guy too. How many? There's space on the ship, right? There was space for everyone's welcome. Let's bring the dead body with us too.
Hey, you like pizza, right?
You know what, Sarah? By the end of this campaign, we're gonna have picked up someone from every planet. Minimum one person. Minimum one.
Oh! Can we fake it? Can we tie him up and then drop him off on his planet? Send him down in a pod and be like, look, he didn't have a choice. He got fucked over.
Give him some convincing bruise makeup. Wait. What situation?
Oh yeah, good shout. That's probably a good question to ask.
Poe, it's your turn.
Oh.
What situation? What the.
Poe totters forward with his shotgun pointed at this guy. Captain, should I shoot?
Just hold on for a minute there, mate.
Okay. May I ask a question, Captain?
Of course, bud.
Why could I shoot the other one and not this one?
Well,
just out of interest, I am not being insubordinate.
No, of course not, Poe.
More.
I would never think that.
Oh.
They both seem the same and are even called Alan.
The other guy was very aggressive, Poe. This young lad over here, suspect he's never really done much combat. He's a little bit nervous.
Yeah.
He's a little bit afraid. And when you see someone like that, there's no sense in killing him. You gotta give him a chance.
Yeah, it's the right thing to do.
That is good to know.
You're a sweet lad. You ask that guy right there what situation he's talking about. He might talk to you.
Okay. Shotgun still out, is just going to totter forwards.
His little pizza hands.
Okay, so what do you...
Very trustworthy little microwave.
He's looking at me.
Yeah, pointing your shotgun at potential Alan. What do you say, Poe?
I have been informed you are very nervous and I should not shoot you. Would you like to explain to the crew why you are so nervous? I promise I will not shoot you. Looks down at the gunner's hand. Says, I know it may not appear that way, but I promise.
Is there a whirring and the gun just raises ever so slightly?
Opens the glass door, puts it in.
How do you do that?
Potential
cut
Alan.
Away, the gun's no longer in his hands. Edit. He's no longer there.
Potential Alan's hand is still shaking, and you see the gun sort of rattling around in his armored gloved hand.
The commander said there couldn't be any witnesses to the operation.
Oh.
What operation?
Eli, it's your turn.
Oh, no, I want to know. Tell me.
The guard.
No.
The guard has,
Eli, no.
The guard has had his turn and has chosen not to fire any more bullets upon you.
Okay.
Fine.
So Eli, with slow, determined movements, he spreads his arms and the hand that's holding the gun opens and drops the SMG to the ground.
The Sarah Michelle Gellar.
He drops Sarah Michelle Gellar to the ground. But she's fine. He just keeps his hands up in this sort of placating, peaceful gesture and goes, "Come on, kid. Ain't really worth your life, is it? We don't want to do this. I know you don't want this neither. What's the use in spilling more blood?"
"Are you also here for Outer Sunset?"
Eli looks, he sort of just glances sideways to the captain.
I'm going to say I nod at you.
Matt.
Just like really imperceptible. Mm-hmm. You know the nod. You know the nod. We spent enough time. You know when I've nodded.
We established in the previous episode that we do all the hand gestures. I know what that specific nod means. Right, nodding means yes. Okay.
What rich, deep code.
Such a code, guys.
We hired the linguist that Denny Villeneuve hired for June to work through this. Yeah, we caught that on the wave. Thought we might could see what's what.
How would a crew of five hope to take on...
And a shot rings out.
Oh no!
Pizza oven.
I put my gun away.
And Krevin shoots and kills.
Krevin!
Krevin.
Potential Alan falls to the ground, dead.
No.
You'll never truly know what his name might have been.
Has he got a name tag on his jacket or anything? Can we have a look?
Oh yeah, does it say Alan on his shirt?
Do you want to give me an observation check, Captain?
Yeah. We can do this. Come on. 7.
That's a 3.
You see
his name's Turd.
You see nothing. You see no sign of a name or anything on this armor. Anyone get above a 7?
No.
What are we? 1, 2d6.
Just 2d6.
Stop watching the beekeeper roll it.
Snake eyes.
Nice.
All right, we suck.
No, I rolled snake eyes. I'm not one.
Alright, so yeah, you see that there's no signs of identification whatsoever on this armor anywhere.
Jeez.
Robbed.
I'll tell you what, if you had rolled better, you would have gotten the same result. Think about that.
Koff looks at them both, and just looks at the adventurers and says, "Leggett, it's better. Leggett's better."
"Yeah, I reckon you're about right, little mate. Eli, mate, it's all right.
Krevin, fine, get on the fucking ship."
"What's that?
Up?
Wait. Dang it, Krevin, we was talking. We was having a conversation."
You've gone soft, mate. Like, do you get what these guys are? They're fucking mercenaries, mate. Don't matter if this guy doesn't know what the fuck he's doing, he's fucking fresh-faced. It only takes him 1 second to clasp his hand around that SMG and fire it and kill one of us. You want to chat? You want to chat to him?"
"He was nervous. We shouldn't have fought him."
"He could have killed you. He could have killed me. He could have killed Captain. He could have killed you, Eli."
"Yeah, but he didn't.
"No, because I killed him, yeah?
When did you guess?"
"Because I killed him."
"When did you get so cold, Krevin? It's always worth trying."
Mates.
"I've always been cold, Eli.
You fucking..."
"It's just
mates,
not..."
"Mates, let's discuss this on the ship. We better get on the ship, guys. I think we need to get out of here."
Whoa, hold on. Look at this fucking armor. It is expensive stuff."
"Shouldn't waste.
This armor is ruined. We shot the fucking shit out of it. I'm saying, if we find out where they came from, there's probably more armor, and that's That's a payday. That's much better than the chump change those Duggan brothers are going to pay us to exile this brat.
Oh, Cough looks behind him.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, hey, Sheriff Duggan. Oh, by the way, we fucking offed a couple of mercs. One of them weren't even trying to kill us.
Let it go.
I won't let this go, Crevin.
We're going to have a problem?
Look, I think you're a cool dude. 99% of the time. But you heard the captain. We are a no-kill group.
We are no-kill innocent people. They started this fight. We ended it.
Let's just strip their fucking bodies. Get on the fucking ship.
Nah, this armor's worthless, mate.
You just said!
I said the armor that they would have at the refinery is worth something. The armor we shot the shit out of is worth nothing.
The armor you shot the shit out of, Crevin.
Fuck you, Eli.
And peace, Robin.
Yay!
I'm gonna be in the fucking galley.
Fine. You know what?
I'm making creme brulee!
No! No, Eli. Not when you're angry. It's dangerous.
It always sinks. It never fluffs when you're angry.
You can't be messing with a blowtorch when you're angry. You know it's not going to work out.
Well, it's up to you then, Captain. Do we go away with this child and take 2 free credits from the Duggan brothers? Or do we get a real payday? We take on the rest of this mercenary group and we get a payday.
Listen. Neither of you is wrong. But right now, Crevin, you think we're going to be able to take on a whole fucking refinery? Get on the fucking ship.
Oh, no. No, no.
Crevin stands, his hand clenching tight around the hilt of his gun, before he slowly puts it back in the holster under his dirty grey duster trench coat and strops onto the ship, kicking up dust and sand as he goes.
You can't control me.
Captain. He almost says mum. He almost says mum.
We got a mother-son relationship. It's awkward.
Cough's just kind of looking around all this and it's just like, okay, so up?
That's right, little mate. You want to come with us? We'll take good care of you.
Okay.
Despite what you've seen.
Do not judge us on what you have witnessed so far.
Cough reflects upon the family dynamics that she's observed from the desert and says, about right.
All right, that's good to hear. That's good to hear. Welcome aboard.
Okay.
Does Cough take the water out of those bodies?
She doesn't know how to do that. She doesn't know how to fucking do that. She's not some weird desert-dwelling Fremen. She's just some weird chick who lives in the sand.
She just jabs a straw in their necks like everyone else.
She checks to see if they have any bottled water on them.
Captain, everybody shouted at each other. And we killed the nervous one.
Yeah, I know, mate.
How do you feel?
Feel a little bit shit, mate.
Oh.
But it's okay. We can't help what's happened. We just got to keep moving forward.
Oh. Okay. I will feel shit too.
Aww. No, Poe. No need, no need. You keep that head up. You're always so cheerful. You make everyone else happy.
Thank you. Sorry, Alan.
Oh, no.
Sorry, nervous Alan. I hope you enjoy your long sleep in the sand.
Oh, no.
And then he's just going to
lay a fresh pizza onto her head.
Stand next to them, ooze some cheese over them for a while. Lay a salami slice over each of their eyes.
Yeah, nice. Nice.
Beautiful.
And then cover their body in molten cheese.
Pizza oven's just gonna, just poodle onto the ship.
Poodle.
Before I get on the ship, if I look at potential Alan's body, is there anything I can see that might give away anything if I do a roll?
Is there anything that give away that we did this other than the pizza that's no, slamming all over?
I meant more like who he works for, so on and so on.
I am inclined to be harsh here and say that you've already failed your observation checks.
All right, fair. Just because everyone's left and I'm on my own doesn't mean I get another one.
Or does it?
And you know how hard it was for me to say no to you now.
Mo looks down at nervous potential Alan.
Definitely nervous.
Definitely nervous.
Potentially Alan.
Definitely potentially now dead Alan. For a sec, and then gets on the ship.
Cough.
Yeah.
Have you ever been on a ship before in your life?
No, I was just thinking about that. No, Cough is freaking out. Doesn't understand the substantial nature of everything she's surrounded by.
Mm-hmm.
The ground doesn't move. Sucks in here. It's a weird smell. Smells like a bunch of fucking dudes have been living in here with a pizza oven. It's weird.
Yeah.
Smells like Buffalo Cave.
So what do you do upon the ship? Do you just sort of stand in uncertainty, or do you explore looking for something that would resemble a comfort or familiarity anywhere within the confines of the Moose?
Find the largest room available and then stand in the middle of it so that she can check what is now her much, 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 much smaller horizon.
You enter through the ship, you look left and right, and then down a corridor you see the storage room of the Moose, which used to be the bunk room when this was a training vessel for children training to work on a yacht.
Oh, yeah.
Would have bunked up in this room, but
forgot we did that.
When you took it over and refurbished it, you pulled out all the beds and turned this large room into a storage area. Currently not really, you're not transporting anything, so it is a large, empty room, coffee, that you can stand in the middle of.
Standing in the middle feels vaguely reassuring, not to be quite so surrounded by things.
Okay. Momo.
Yes.
You head up to the bridge. Are you just going to take off and head out?
Do we need to go back and get some cash?
So the Duggan brothers contacted you through Fundamental, which is a application that provides people with legal work. They shouldn't have used Fundamental for this work, because okay, this falls more in line with bounty hunting, which law enforcement should put on Pursuit, which is another application.
Okay.
But because they were trying to keep it hush-hush and off of Evergreen's radar, they instead opted to put this job on Fundamental, which is also probably why you were able to get to it, because most bounty hunters aren't checking Fundamental for bounty work.
Okay. Did they book it under something like babysitting?
Yeah.
Or cargo transport?
And that's the job this crew responded to, or did we understand the crew? Oh boy, we're going to get into babysitting.
This is going to be easy.
No, Momo knows the code words.
Momo knows.
Once you are off planet, you can log on to Fundamental and click that you've completed the job.
Okay. Do I need to? Are they going to want any proof from us?
I mean, the proof will be whether, you know, if they encounter Cough again.
That's true.
Because what's worse than not getting paid is getting a negative review on the Fundamental.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, God forbid.
Yeah.
True. We'll never get work again.
Can I troll them and just leave one anyway? No.
I mean, you absolutely could if you wanted to.
It's Fundamental, the kind of app that lets you review your employers.
Ooh. That sounds too fair.
It's a two-way street, but you know, Duggans may be using a burner account, so whether you give them a bad review might not affect them in the long term.
Is our account on Fundamental Moose Crew?
Yes.
Yeah, nice. Okay.
Moose Crew 69.
Nice.
69 means the same in space.
Yeah.
69.
We never lost that one thing.
Does 69 make sense when there's no gravity? Questions.
Yeah. Rotate in like a space station.
Even better. You know what? It gets rid of one of the fundamental problems with 69, doesn't it? Which is gravity.
Yeah.
Not the only problem.
Nothing.
We're not having we're not having this anti-69 talk again. Y'all are basic. We're moving on.
I take a lot of bullshit from you guys, but
that is as far as it goes. I have marked this job as complete.
Okay. Momo, Could you give me a mobility check get the moose back into space? Mobility is plus 2. We have a very mobile ship.
All right, that's a 13 all up.
Wow.
I rolled good.
That's the second time you've rolled incredible on a moose mobility check. So, cough.
Ah. Oh, no.
The ground begins to move under your feet again.
Yay. Cough doesn't like it.
You don't like it.
I feel like we should have warned you.
Cough doesn't like this at all.
Oh, no.
Because this is a 13 mobility check, it's not like Cough is going to get thrown across the room.
Okay.
This is so smooth. I'm curious how Cough is reacting to this movement and this thing they've never experienced before in their life.
After staring around the place a bit, they're sort of not able to get much of a handle on the context of what's happening, of the sort of house now moving. She lies on her back flat, spreading her limbs as wide as she can, eyes closed, trying to remember the sky.
Aww. Can Pizza Oven go help?
Yes, absolutely.
Just to make it more relaxing, you hear the approaching sound of like down the little corridor, and then Pizza Oven's going to enter and walk right up to your body and stand over it.
Cough turns to Pizza Oven and says, "Fucks it now."
No, are you okay?
What's going on?
The ship is leaving.
Leaving what?
The planet.
To what's planet?
The place we just were. It is a planet. Now we will probably go to a different planet. The captain likes to take us to planets. There we do work, and then we get money.
Different.
Different.
More? More planet?
Yes. More planets. Many planets. You'll like them. I have been to several planets. They are very good.
Better?
Better. Your planet was very sandy. And Pizza Oven shakes a little bit, and like, you can hear the tinkle of sand come out of
the
few cracks.
Not sand.
Maybe. Some other planets have sand, I believe.
She sort of wraps her hand on the metal that you're both stood on. Like this?
Maybe. Some planets are made of metal.
Rather not.
Oh. Should I inform the captain that you wish to return to the planet?
She has a think about the planet for a bit. Looks a little sort of haunted about the eyes. Then looks back at Pizza Oven and says, "Nah, that's right."
Good. I am happy you are here. Are you hungry?
What?
Are you hungry?
Yeah.
Do you like pizza?
Kiss it now.
Pizza. Blink, blink.
Okay.
You don't seem very excited for pizza.
Excited? Kiss it now.
Pizza. Pizza.
Okay.
Wait. Come with me.
Okay, so. And she sort of tentatively follows the Pizza Oven.
And as the moose finally breaches the atmosphere, the rumbling and shaking ceases, and everything is once again still as you begin to glide through the void of space.
Whoa, did you see that coming with Krevin? I didn't. Quest Fantastic Season 2 Orbital Blues is Neil Heald as Captain Maurice Richards, Paul Goodman as Eli DeCoco, Jen Blundell as Pizza Oven, Paul Salt as Cough, and Sarah Keep as everyone else. Music and editing by me. Getting better at that. So take that, parent / guardian. Thank you so much for listening to this latest episode. I hope you're enjoying this as much as we are. We are just happy as all that. with the way things are going. Huge, massive thank you. Shout out, hugs to Soul Muppet Publishing, who are the awesome developers behind this game. If you're new listening because of that, welcome. And what can I say? Keep supporting Soul Muppet Publishing. And if you want to support Soul Muppet Publishing and you want to help us out by throwing a dollary do or two redo our way, we have an affiliate link. So if you do want to buy the playbook, and I recommend it heartily, it is such a beautiful little boy and just such a great game on the pages within. Click on that link. Help out your favorite developers and podcasters in one big old beefy swoop. The other way you can help us is by going on to patreon.com/questfantastic, where for as little as $1 a month, everyone gets access to our fortnightly talkback that gets personal, weird, and grammar-based in space, and all kinds of one-shots, guest appearances, interviews, you name it, we might have it. Thank you so, so much to everybody who is already a patron. And once again, if that sounds like something you'd like to be a part of, patreon.com/questfantastic. Thank you so, so much for everything, Giant Space Cat. Lord, we will never forget you. Hey, if you want to do us a solid, why don't you go ahead and nominate us for a crit award or two? Jen's already got the ball rolling on Discord. She is on point with awards this year. Links to that will be in the episode description, but I know what everyone here wants to know. You want to know when that next EP's coming out. But stick with me. Because I have a calendar just 10 feet away. That next epi that we talk about is coming out Monday the 22nd of April. So put on them thrusters or something. And we'll see you in space.